Well, it's good. Are we on? It's good for us to have Chris Pullen back and speaking here. Most everyone, I think, here knows Chris. He's spoken in our pulpit before, and we're glad to have him here again today.
Happy Sabbath. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here.
I am not capable of doing anything without your Holy Spirit. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to each of our hearts today. We're asking for the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Cleanse me, Lord, I am not worthy. Let us see Jesus today. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank the church for allowing me the privilege of coming back here. Many of you know my mom and dad, Ray and Belia Poland, born and raised in this church. I shared my testimony the first time I came here, so I'm not going to do that again, but I was, like I said, born and raised in this church and went to the school across the parking lot and am privileged in being here with you this morning. As I prayed this week, I thought I was going to speak about preparation for the second coming of Christ, which is very important. Amen? When we see the world around us and what's taking place, we all recognize that the time is short and that it is time, if you're not already, to prepare to leave Earth. But as I prayed this morning, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to preach this message that I preached a couple of weeks ago at Merced Bethel Church. So I decided it was more important to listen to the Holy Spirit than to follow my own wisdom, which is limited. I want to open up with a quote from the book Prophets and Kings, chapter 51. It says, Christians should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. And this preparation they should make by diligently studying the Word of God and striving to conform their lives to its precepts. It's one thing to study the Word of God and to hear the Word of God, but for your life to conform to it is where the difference takes place in a Christian's life. The tremendous issues of eternity demand of us something besides an imaginary religion. A religion of words and forms where truth is kept in the outer court. God calls for a revival and a reformation. The words of the Bible and the Bible alone should be heard from the pulpit. But the Bible has been robbed of its power, and the result is seen in a lowering of the tone of spiritual life. In many sermons of today, there is not that divine manifestation which awakens the conscience and brings life to the soul. The hearers cannot say, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? There are many who are crying out for the living God, longing for the divine presence. Let the word of God speak to the heart. Let those who have heard only tradition and human theories and maxims hear the voice of him who can renew the soul unto eternal life. Do you desire your soul to be renewed today? As I look at my own life, I recognize that I need to be renewed a whole lot. My life is a mess sometimes, but it's by the grace of God that we can continue day by day. I have a close friend. His name is David Dean. He's a pastor in the Central Valley here. And he had mentioned to me that once he began to garden in his backyard, that he saw the Word of God in a totally different light. When we hear the Word of God, often, because our hearts are hardened, it does not, we don't receive it. Sometimes we may even fall asleep as the word of God is being spoken. And it's because of the stony heart. I don't know much about gardening myself, but I do know that if you want a good garden, you can't plant it in clay. Amen? You need to get the fertilizer broken down and the ground. I don't know a whole lot, but I do know you need good soil. And in order for the word of God to be fertile in our hearts need to be softened. So as we begin our word today, I need prayer, church. I know all of us need prayer here today. And I want you to especially pray that the Holy Spirit would soften your heart and soften my heart, that when we hear the word, that it would not just be another Sabbath with another sermon, but that the word of God would do something in our lives today, that it would change us. So as we bow one more time, I want you to specifically ask for that prayer in your life, in my life, and also ask for the Holy Spirit. I would ask you to do that just now. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. There are three things that we cannot afford to do today, this morning. You cannot afford to focus on me and lose track of the sermon or the message today. You cannot fall asleep or daydream during this time. And you cannot look at the message as it is being for someone else. So often we're in the church and we hear the word of God and I think we've all been tempted to do this, but we say, man, if so-and-so was here, that would have been perfect for them. Has anyone ever thought that before? You don't have to raise your hand. I know I have. But the word of God is personal, and God has something for each one of us here today. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3 in a modern version, and then we're going to look at it in the King James. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says, Remember this, there are some terrible times coming in the last days. People will only love themselves and money. They will be proud and boast about themselves. They will abuse others with insults. They will not obey their parents. They will be ungrateful and against all that is pleasing to God. They will have no love for others and will refuse to forgive anyone. They will talk about others to hurt them and will have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. People will turn against their friends. They will do foolish things without thinking and will be so proud of themselves. Instead of loving God, they will love pleasure. Verse 5 says, they will go on pretending to be devoted to God. Do you see that? Pretending to be devoted to God, but they will refuse to let that devotion change the way they live. Stay away from these people. And now we're going to go verse by verse, same passage of Scripture from the King James, starting with verse 1, turn there if you have not already done that. Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read it all over again. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That word perilous in the original language is just simply, it means danger, fierce or furious. Fierce times. And I want to encourage those who are disciplined to pray. I always ask this every time I share the word, to pray for me as I speak. I need your prayers, church. We need the Holy Spirit to take control in here. So that word perilous means dangerous. Are we living in dangerous times today? It's very dangerous. It's almost scary, isn't it? Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That word covetous, it means to overreach, defraud, desiring more, eager for gain. Do we see that in our world today? One who practices greediness. Not only just to be greedy, but one who practices greediness. This is speaking of the Christians, by the way. This context of Scripture here is referring not to the world, but to the church. Extortion, to obtain by force or in proper measure. Proud, that word is to exalt, to be lifted up above others. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. We see that characteristic, to be proud, to be lifted up. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 14. Starting with verse 13. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 13. It says, "Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it." I'm in the wrong script passage here, aren't I? I think it's Isaiah. Sorry, Isaiah chapter 14. Yes, Isaiah chapter 14, sorry, 14 verse 13. It says, For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. So this spirit of pride, who did we first see it in? In Satan. And the question I would like to ask you is, do you see it in your life today? That's a personal question. That's a question I need to ask myself. That word blasphemer, it simply means irreverence towards something considered sacred, going back to Timothy. Irreverence towards something that's considered sacred. Do we see that today? Do we see that there is a lack of respect towards the things of God in the church today? The mingling of the world and the church, we cannot sometimes see the difference in the church. That word disobedient, found in verse 2, it simply means to rebel against the law of God and even against the law of man. The word unholy, it is defined as wicked, defiled, unclean. Verse 3, 2 Timothy 3:3, it says, continuing, without natural affection, truce-bakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That word truce-breaker, it is one who is not willing to forgive. And what does the Bible say? That if we're not able to forgive our brother, that we ourselves cannot be forgiven? Turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. 24-26. Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may" what? "May forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive," what does it say? "Neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." So do you understand what that's saying? That the people in the church that are not willing to forgive one another, those who have anger in their hearts towards their brother or their sister, and they refuse to forgive, what you have is people in the church that are walking around not saved. Because unless we are forgiven from our sins, then we are not saved. That word accuser, Satan, the only place that my concordance brought me to for that word is in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. We could turn there. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the what? For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which has accused them before our God day and night." So what we're seeing here in this passage of Scripture is our different characteristics that are not of God, found in God's people. Not willing to forgive. Not willing to make things right with one another. Accusing one another, pointing the finger at everyone else, but not taking the blame for your own actions. That word incontinent is without self-control. It means powerless. We're going to come back to that. Fierce, to act harshly, to be violent, burning of anger, fury. Despiser, to look down with contempt. That's open disrespect. Verse 4, 2 Timothy 3, 4, continuing. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. A traitor is one who betrays or one who commits treason. And that is the offense to overthrow the government of one's country or assisting in doing that. So when we are working for Satan in the church, we are committing treason against God. We're supposed to be working together to serve the Lord, and here we are working for the enemy, for Satan, when we are doing these things. When we don't have a forgivable heart towards our brother, or we are accusing one another of not doing what is right, and all these different characteristics, we are actually committing treason against God. That word heady, it means doing things without thinking. Has anyone ever experienced that before? And what kind of trouble do you get into? A whole lot of trouble, amen? I don't want to claim it being the best example of someone that always does something without thinking. And then I find myself in a whole lot of trouble. High-minded, that means to be lifted up without pride, to be arrogant. Christ being our example, was he high-minded? Was he arrogant? He sure wasn't. He was humble. He was meek. He was lowly. Pleasure. To lust after, to meditate, or to ponder, to contemplate, to behold, to desire, sin. And that word more, when it says to love, let me read it. It says lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That really is meaning that instead of God. It's not more than. It's really saying that these people love pleasure instead of loving God. Verse 5. It says, they keep the form of a Christian. They act holy. And what they have done is this. They have learned how to act as if they are being sanctified, but really are not being sanctified. They're hypocrites. Some may not be aware of their condition. Maybe they're blind to their condition, but some may know their condition. But just think about it. They have learned how to act as if they are being sanctified. Having a form of godliness, but not really, they're not godly. Going back to verse 3, that word incontinent means powerless. These people are powerless. And that is why they are the way they are. When we do not have the power of Christ, we become truce breakers. We become people that are accusers of the brethren. We become people that have a hardened heart towards one another. And we become a people that desire pleasure instead of God when we have not Christ. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. Matthew chapter 9, turn there. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6 says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given what? Such power unto men." Christ gives us the power we need to arise from our dead condition. The people mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3 are spiritually dead. They have not, they may have lost their first love. They have turned on God. They have no power over sin anymore. They have the form of godliness. They come to church, they dress up for church, and they know how to say happy Sabbath, and they know how to sing the songs when it's time to sing and sit down and say amen, but they have not gained power over the sins in their lives. But they're still living as Christians. They still have that form. They've learned to act as if they're being sanctified. Matthew chapter 10, turn the page, starting with verse 1. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he did what? He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all" what? "Manner of sickness and all manner of disease." You know that when we sin, we're sick. Sin is a disease. And God calls us. Are you a disciple of Christ? Are you following Christ in your life? That's your own. You answer yourself. We're in church. We should all like to say, yeah, we're disciples of Christ. But when Christ called us, he gave us power against sin. And that's why when we first came into the church, we repented. When we were baptized, we repented of all of our sins because we had been given power from Christ to become victorious over the sins that have been plaguing our lives. The hardened heart no longer feels sorry for sin. They're scared of the consequences of sin. No one wants to die. But the hardened heart no longer feels sorry when they sin, knowing that they hurt their Savior. Living in fear, scared of the consequences of the sinful life that you may be living, but not sorry for the sins that you're committing, or that I may be committing. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Starting with verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor what? Nor the power of God." I don't want you to raise your hand, but is anyone struggling with sin in your life today? Are you struggling with the same sin, the sin that has been plaguing your life for month after month, day after day, year after year? You're tired of being you. When you look into the mirror and you're all alone, you're tired of seeing that sinful person that you are. I'm not accusing anyone. I'm sharing my testimony. You're tired of seeing the same person, and you're wondering why you have not become victorious over the sins of your life. You come to church. You may be a teacher in Sabbath school. You may be a preacher behind the pulpit. You may be giving a Bible study, and yet you still are struggling with sin in your life, and you don't know what to do. Mark chapter 3. I am thankful for the love of Christ. My prayer has been, church, I'm telling you the honest truth, Lord, I want to understand your love before I die. I want to experience your love, Lord. I don't want to just have a form of godliness. I no longer want to live in sin and continue to come to church and be able to hide my sins and work my way around them. But Lord, I really want to experience your love. If I'm lost or I'm saved, Lord, I want to experience your love. And I'm not going to give up, Lord. This is my prayer. Lord, I don't, no matter how I live, no matter how weak I am at times, Lord, I will not give up. Whether I'm lost or even if I'm not, if I'm saved or if I'm lost, Lord, I'm still going to move forward. We're living in the last days, church. We are, without the scripture, the conviction in my heart, aren't you experiencing it, church? The conviction, every day that I live on the face of this earth, I experience a conviction in my soul which tells me, if you do not repent of your sins, if you do not come unto me, Christ says, then you will not make it. The time is short. It's in my heart. I know it's in your heart. God is gathering his people. He's allowing us all to make decisions, either to live or to die. And by the way we live determines our choice. We can make a profession. We can make a profession, but the way we live is really speaking of what our choice really is. We can't fool God. We can fool ourselves and fool our brothers and sisters, but we cannot fool God. He knows. And if the Holy Spirit is in your life, you will know too. When the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, you will know that your life is not right. You will know that you are sinning and that you cannot take sin into heaven. When you're living in sin, sin will not enter heaven. There's only righteousness there, holiness there. Sin will not enter heaven. That is why God is calling a people that are repenting from their sins. We are living in preparing times. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. Where is the power in the church today? I don't believe that we have the faith to believe to heal sicknesses anymore and to cast out devils. I mean, we think that they have power in the Bible that we don't have. It's like we're believing a lie. That we don't believe that we can do the things that the disciples did in the Bible. But we also are given the same power to heal sicknesses, to cast out devils, to be free ourselves from the devils that plague us and possess us and that we invite. So often we want to blame the devil and someone else for all of our mistakes, but we are the ones that are causing it all. Mark chapter 6, verse 8. Mark chapter 6, verse 8. And commanded them that they... Well, let's go to verse 7. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them what? Power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take what? Nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. We're having a problem with that one today, aren't we? God, he's telling us to go forward with nothing, not to worry about anything, to believe in him, to respond to the Great Commission. But yet we don't have enough faith. We base everything on what we see these days as Christians. Well, Lord, it doesn't make any sense. The budget doesn't allow that, Lord. We don't believe. But he calls us to go forward in faith, and he will give us power. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. You see, as we walk through the gospel, what do we see? Power. There is power in the gospel. Luke chapter 10, I'm sorry, verse 19. Behold, Christ is speaking again. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the who? So do we have any excuse? Christ has given us all power over the enemy. So why is it that we're not victorious as Christians? The song that we sing often, what was it? I surrender all. Are they just words that you have learned? Or is it really a decision that you are making in your heart. We're talking about having a form of godliness and learning how to act as if you're being sanctified, but really learning just the words of the song, but not experience the words of the song. Christ said he has given us power over the enemy. And nothing shall by any means do what? Hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto who? Unto you. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The Bible says that we should keep our hearts and minds on heavenly things. But we're so focused on this earth too often. We're focused on our finances and our relationships and all these things which are important. But the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will work itself out. But we have it backwards. We're trying to fix things ourselves, including our brokenness, our sinful nature, our lost condition. We have not taken to Christ. We are trying to fix ourselves. And we will never be fixed when we do it that way. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. A very familiar passage, but we will read it anyway. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses. So after you receive the Holy Spirit, you become a bright light. Your life is not just, you don't just make profession, you don't just make a profession anymore. You literally have power that when people experience you or spend time with you or whatever it may be, you become a witness that people may see Christ in you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth. So wherever you go, when the Holy Spirit is with you, you stay a witness. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Let's read it together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you believe that in your heart, church? Do you believe that the power of the gospel of Christ is real in your life? Are you experiencing that real power in your life? Experiencing being cleansed every day, because we must die daily. Every day we make mistakes. Every day that you live on this planet, we say words that should not be said, and we do things that should not be done, and we realize that we're not going to make it without the power of God. Unless we die to self daily, we have no hope. Are you experiencing that hope in your life today? I'm battling in my spiritual life. I think we all are. I think that, you know, the enemy knows he has a short time. That's what the Bible says. So he is trying to take us out. He's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And is he attacking you today? Is he trying to cause you to quit in your walk with Christ? Is he trying to cause you to become a worker with him against one another? He sure is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go through your word, we see ourselves as unworthy. Some of us do. We see ourselves as victims of sin and sickness and disease, Lord. We see ourselves as powerless, Lord, and sometimes even hopeless. Sometimes we wonder, I wonder, Lord, if I'm even going to make it, Lord. But we found in your word today, Lord, that there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're simply asking, Lord, that you would save us and that we would be real with you, Lord. That we would stop having this form of godliness, Lord, but that we would actually become real Christians. That you would soften the stony heart, Lord, that has taken place in my life and some of us here possibly. That you would give us a heart of flesh, Lord, and that you prepare us, Lord, for your soon coming. We know the church is not what you want it to be right now, Lord. We know that as individuals, I know I'm not who you want me to be right now. But we know that you are long-suffering toward us. We're not willing that any of us would perish. And we know, Lord, that we need to repent from our sins. And I want you to continue to pray, church. Don't get lost in daydreaming. We're going to close right now, so just focus for a few more minutes and really pray. Don't just listen to me, but I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to invite the Holy Spirit to search out your heart right now. Ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal to you who you really are. What is your need according to the Lord? Talk to him for a few moments. Intercede for those you know need prayer right now. I thank those who are praying for me. I know that there are some that are praying for me every day, church, and it's those prayers sometimes that keep us from completely giving up sometimes. Search out your own soul right now. And as the Holy Spirit is revealing things to you, when we read the Word of God, church, and we hear of these different conditions of people, the greed, the pride, all these different characteristics that we looked at, the person that's not willing to forgive, all these things. Ellen White writes that when we fall asleep during the spoken word of God, that we're under the power of sorcery. Don't blame it on the preacher. But as the Holy Spirit is revealing to you the weaknesses in your character, the flaws, the sinful nature that you are battling with in your life every day, and right now you have a sincere desire to turn away from that sin, whatever it may be. That battle you go through, that struggle, that pleasure that you choose in place of God. That if we do not repent, eventually will send us to hell. If we do not confess our sins unto God, we will not be forgiven, church. Repent and be baptized, the word says. Turn away from your wicked ways. If anyone here today wants to make that decision to repent of some sin you're dealing with, then I invite you to stand. True repentance is not based on emotion or anything, but true repentance. You really feel sorry for the person you have become, and you realize that it is not acceptable in the sight of heaven, and you want to make a change today. You want to make a stand for Christ. It takes humility to stand, because you say, what are people going to say? I'm a leader. They don't think I sin. If you have a true desire, whoever you are, to stand for Christ, and say, Lord, I am sorry. I have sinned against you. And I need your help. I need your power. I no longer want to live the sinner man that I am. Pray, church, as people. There's a spiritual war taking place here. The battle between heaven and Satan. And what is your choice? What is your decision? Do you want to hold on to your sin because you're too proud? Because you're not humble enough to stand before heaven, the King of the universe? The Holy Spirit is working on your heart. And that is hope for you and me. The Bible says that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. And there will come a day when we continue, if we continue to grieve the Holy Spirit, harden not your heart. God is here to save you. He hears the heart's cry today, church. He understands your broken condition. Continue to pray, church. He understands everything about me. I'm broken too. I'm standing first. I'm kneeling, but I'm standing on my knees. I am he who is a sinner that needs the blood of Christ to cleanse me, to save me. And as you continue to stand, if there's anyone else that wants to make the decision, if you have not stand yet to confess your sins unto the Lord, he still has an open door for you. Stand up. Don't be ashamed. He's not ashamed of you. He has stood for us. Christ is representing you and I in the heavenly courts today. And he wants to represent you clean before the Father. He wants to tell the Father that the blood has cleansed him or her. Stand. Or maybe it is you that have not yet given your life to Christ and you want to make that decision. Or maybe you have left Christ and you want to come back. Like the unpardonable, like the son that ran away, the son that knew he was lost, but he was lost, but Christ wants you to come back. When you come to the altar from your heart and you come to Christ, you're not ashamed of your decision. There is nothing more beautiful than coming to the foot of the cross. Because there, Christ accepts us with open arms. And our sins are made clean. And there is no safer place than to be at the foot of the cross. When we're at the foot of the cross, church, continue to pray. Go there every day. I need to go there every day. There's nothing more beautiful than the love of Jesus. And he calls us so gently and so softly. He doesn't force us, but he does not want us to be lost. Christ, like the song says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. When we come to church on the Sabbath, the Spirit of God wants to heal you. Will you be healed today from your sickness and your disease, the sin? I invite everyone to kneel as we hear the beautiful music play. And we're going to close out with a prayer. I want you to pray to the Lord. Tell him what's on your heart and mind. Confess those sins. Ask for God for power. Thank you. experience the freedom of forgiveness. Just like the man that was sick for 38 years, leave this place as if you really believe you're healed and walk in the newness of life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. And I ask, Lord, that you would save me, Lord, whatever it takes. I'm a stubborn sinner, but I know your love is more stubborn than... The Bible says, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. So your sins can't outdo God. Come to the cross daily, and you are safe. Ask for a clean heart. Ask for God to show you who you really are, to be a real Christian, not just to have the form. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. I ask that you would be with each heart here today that came forward, that you would continue to heal them. We hold on to your promise in Philippians 1:6 says that tells us that we can be confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in us will complete it until the second day of Jesus Christ. Second coming. Hold on to the promises today, church. When you have doubt, go to the Word of God. Ask for faith, and God will grant it to you. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.